Συνάντησα τον Τζον Να στις 22 Μαρτίου του 2010. Το γραφείο του στο Πρίνστον ήταν πνιγμένο στη σκόνη. Χαρτιά σχημάτισαν λόφους και σε έναν μαυρό πίνακα ήταν γραμμένοι με κυμολία μαθηματικοί τύποι που δεν μπορούσα να αναγνωρίσω. Ο Τζον Να, 82 ετών σήμερα, καθόταν σε μια γαλάζια ξύλινη καρέκλα. Είχε μακριά και λεπτά δάχτυλα με μυτερά νύχια που λογικά δεν είχαν κοπεί για εβδομάδες. Φορούσε ένα πράσινο πουκάμισο και ένα λαδί παντελόνι που είχε ανεβάσει αρκετά πιο πάνω από τη μέση του. Το βλέμμα του δραπέτευε μόλις συναντούσε το δικό μου. Πριν από 30 χρόνια, ο Νας φοβόταν να κοιτάξει κάποιον στα μάτια. Στο Πρίνστον ήταν γνωστός ως φάντασμα. Ακούστε στο ημίρο απόσπασμα που ακολουθεί από τη συνέντευξή μας τον Τζον Νας να μιλάει για τη ζωή του με τη σχιζοφρένεια.
Are there any other discoveries that you feel jealous of, that you would wish you could have made?
Well, there are many, of course. There are many. Well, some of them have, of course, have been made before my lifetime, like general relativity, quantum mechanics, major advances in theoretical physics. Now it seems to be moving very slowly as far as advances that one can really appreciate.
Why is that?
Well, there are patterns in history, of course, that civilization may move fast and then slow down. Surely this has been observed in Greece. There come times when there is no progress, things may go backwards.
So we are currently in a time like this?
Well, I don't know, but you could say the experimental physics is not showing up so much. And there, the biggest thing is the Large Hadron Collider in Geneva. And there have been some troubles with that. I think they lost a year just to an electrical circuit problem. It's about to be starting up again, but I don't hear anything about the discovery. A lot of theoretical physicists are saying that this is where they can expect to find the confirmation.
Why does this happen? This gap in history, this period that we don't notice a similar progress, is it because we have less talented scientists? Is it because of other reasons? Or just...
I don't think it's the less talented scientists, but you don't know. I mean, it could be also. I mean, the talent of the scientists might reflects a general education and the general civilization. When there's a lot of education, a lot of civilization, a lot of intellectual activity, then some of that would be scientific. And when there's not so much, maybe then there's not so much scientific activity. If a lot of poets are writing poetry, some scientists may be thinking of writing scientific. If nobody's writing poetry, nobody's saying much scientifically either. It's possible. Of course, poetry might not be a good example because, I don't know, but it could become less popular when you have videos and you have various forms of communication. Mm-hmm. Poetry, it's really you would have some spoken words in a language rather than but read, but it also should be possible to write it. Poetry, so it can be read and written. I know that the Nobel Prize for Literature has appreciated poetry. But it's difficult to appreciate because the poetry of someone in Slovakia might not be readable to most of the world.
Can we compare poetry to science?
Well, it involves communication. A scientist doesn't really do anything until he communicates it. So, like, if you want to be a technological scientist and develop a useful invention, then you have conventions that you must communicate the idea for that. You write up a patent description, which someone could use to actually make the thing in principle. Uh-huh. So you're not supposed to be keeping it a secret. You want a patent, you communicate it. And then you make it possible for other scientists or technologists to use it, to do it. So Albert Einstein had some patents, and he at one time worked in the patent office, so he had an opportunity to learn about the process as it existed at that time. It was around 1900.
Speaking of gaps, of periods without progress, I want to ask you how were these 30 years, about 30 years, 25, 30 years for you, when you were battling with mental illness?
Well, you could say battling, but the person who is affected by mental illness or mental disturbance, the problem is maybe that he is not battling it, he's not fighting it. If he were fighting it, then he would not be in that state. You would say, I want to think normally, and he may be convinced that there's some good reason not to behave normally and not to be thinking normally. Not to want to work normally. Yeah, I was. Of course, I didn't have a good type of work to do, and I didn't want to think of myself as mentally ill. So this is part of the state of mind. You can have. There can be different states of mind, but it generally involves the person is not doing the normal work intellectually. The brain is not working on a normal level, not doing the work that is. Evolution shapes us and builds us to do certain work. Our legs are built so that we can walk on them, and our brains are designed so that we can do certain functions. We can use eyes and read, and we can direct our hands and do things. But this sort of thing could be done by a well-designed robot. And so humans could be looked at as slaves, slaves of the creator or the master plan. They have to do what they're supposed to do, what it is recognized as good work. And then if it's socially recognized, they can be paid. So money also exists to motivate labor.
So when something happens and they don't follow this master plan, then their life is off track.
Their what?
Their life is off the track. Is.
Well, in some cases, in some areas, in various ways, a person might enter a monastery or a convent, and someone like that, those people, maybe they're borderline, maybe they're insane. But it's not the ordinary insanity, but they manage to go there, and then they maybe that life is an adjustment. So like insane persons, they don't do the normal labor, they contribute.
When you face mental illness, for example, in your case, your family and friends, people try to help you, but can they really help, or is it a lonely fight, a fight that you have to...
Well, I try to explain that the mentally ill person is not necessarily fighting it. Mm. Mm-hmm. See, this is a condition, but it's like if you see a fat person, is the person fighting obesity?
No. Probably not.
I mean, there could be some case. All that's needed is that there's less calories. So they have this bariatric surgery, which people are given something they don't need, except for their own, maybe their mental weakness. They cannot resolve to eat a healthy diet and get exercise. So they can go for this surgery, and then the stomach is deformed, it's smaller, and it works, but there's sort of the stomach can sort of grow back after a while, and it becomes less effective later on. That's an unfortunate thing because they don't need that. They just need the discipline. Sort of, maybe there should be camps, like mental hospitals, so that they can be confined there. And in the camps, they only get the amount of calories needed.
You've written in an essay, and I will read, that rational thought imposes a limit on a person's concept of his relation to cosmos. So my question is, escaping from irrational thoughts or limiting irrational thoughts, does it make somebody more humble or does it make somebody less of a genius?
Well, certainly one can be more humble if one is making an adjustment to be sane rather than mad. I have to accept a certain level of humility in becoming a more rational-minded person. I abandoned some delusional thinking. It was a renunciation. So you can feel good in a way from a delusional thing. You feel you're awakened. I felt I was awakened to something, an awareness of things that I otherwise would not be aware of. But it wasn't a true awareness. It was an awareness of falseness. Van Gogh certainly did work that's very much appreciated, and he was very disturbed. And, well, there's a big loss for me is that I didn't return to sanity until I was near 60 or so in age. So, I mean, there's a big loss of time. But a philosophical subtlety is I don't know what I would have done in that time period if I'd been entirely sane. I might not have done good things. I wasn't the youngest, so I might have been just a worker. What I have the fear of is being a worker who's like a slave and going through routine work and not really being able to appreciate it. So I'm not sure. I think part of my situation, I was having some troubles just finding good work to do, the next thing, I didn't want to be doing sort of routine work, scientifically or something that was not too much different from what I had done before. But wanting to break out of the routine, I exposed myself to psychological strains. It's possible. I wouldn't be sure of this.
What you said about returning to sanity until you were 60 reminds me of Odysseus, or men like him who go for a journey for a long time.
Yeah.
And when they come back, they realize that the world has moved on in their absence.
It's very difficult.
Do you feel like Odysseus, maybe?
Well, no. He was like a king. He comes back, and the kingdom is out of order. But I have a son that is still mentally disturbed right now. He was in this building earlier today. I mean, he could have been at home. He moves around, and. He knows that he is mentally disturbed. He's not resisting the concept on that level, but on the other hand, he doesn't really want to work or to do anything on an humble and prosaic level. So he's getting back into a good life adjustment. So. What is there to do? See, sanity involves perhaps a certain level of modesty. You can't be the emperor of your own universe. You're trying to live in the universe of all the other people and to adjust to it as it is, rather than to create the rules. I was sort of the emperor of my own universe in a sense when I was disturbed.
Do you feel, or did you feel free when you were emperor of your own universe, when you created the rules?
Well, you know, I wasn't always physically free, because there were times when I was put involuntarily in the mental hospital. But the total time, that wasn't such a large portion. It was in the earlier years, and then there were later years when I stayed out, but I wasn't sane, I wasn't functioning normally. Well, I do think, however, that to be sane, one only needs to think in a logical manner. But that is something that insane people do not do. I mean, it's like to avoid a certain type of disease, you have only to say, I wish to treat myself for this disease. I wish to work against it. And then that's it. But people might not do that. And then again, one could mention things like drug addiction or tendencies to obesity. If a person is a drug addict, he perhaps knows that what the problem is, what comes from, but he may be the addiction. He's more pleasant than what there would be the normal life. maybe the normal life would not be so good. If suddenly his life circumstances were changed, that his normal life would be very good through some miracle, then that might solve the addiction. Or it could solve a mental illness problem. There's some statistics, I mean, about mental illness. I've heard that people in rural areas living in the country, like farmers, are rarely mentally ill. But the cases are all coming from the cities.
Why do you think that could happen?
Well, the adaptation of human life and is there's also if a person is very comfortable in terms of wealth, money, then it's unlikely that person is unlikely to become mentally ill. Living in the country or having plenty of money. There are various hidden statistics that can be found. Some of these things are not talked about by psychiatrists.
But how could we explain these statistics? For example, the difference between a person who lives in a rural area and a person who lives in a city.
Well, the social situation, the interaction with other people. The rural person might be relating to animals, but the urban person has to relate to humans, the animals that he relates to. And humans can be more challenging than the animals on the farm. They have more stress.
People say that there is usually a fine line between a genius and insanity.
Well, that's a dangerous area to really say anything about, but it's true that many of the exceptional minds have had some abnormality that's not typical. Albert Einstein and Isaac Newton have been spoken of as illustrations of what's called Asperger's syndrome, which is not insanity, but it has been called autism. But autism is a word that is used for everything in young children that is abnormal and not maybe desirable. So it's popular in a way because it avoids the more descriptive character of some things like I did. Could say that a person is really on the moronic level. There have been old terms that would have different words to describe how much the retardation level is of the human. But these terms get suppressed, and everyone is autistic in this way or not. So if people like Einstein and Newton could be called autistic, then other people with their children being called autistic feel better in such a broad category. And the Asperger's syndrome is just people who don't relate so well to other people, socialize, who prefer to stay by themselves and have their own thoughts, to concentrate on things apart from social relations. So, the thing is, it's hard to be a real intellectual and think hard about anything, while at the same time being very social and being always associated with other people and in a human entertainment and that sort of thing.